B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, covering Radio Row from north to south. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Patrick, two questions. Have you called your ex-teammate D Ford and asked him if he'll jump off sides a few times for you?
I did not. I mean, D's a great football player, and I know it's going to be a great challenge trying to block him and going up against him.
Now, second of all, how creepy is it when Deion Sanders kind of slides in during your interview here and whispers to you, well, at media day? Is that kind of creepy?
I don't even know. I didn't know he did that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
He hasn't talked to you yet?
I haven't talked to him yet today.
Get ready. He's going to slide in all creepy.
Okay.
And he whispers. It goes down, and it's very oogie.
I appreciate the warning.
Yeah.
What's up, dog?
Yeah, so how do you feel? That is, I don't know why, but I'm having the most fun in a long time that I've had doing the show today. I really am. I'm having a blast. I really am. I'm having a lot of fun. This hour of Toucher and Rich, live from Radio Row in Miami, is sponsored by Benardi Automotive Group. It has nothing to do with Rich being in Miami. I found today to be very enjoyable. We are with Will Brinson, of course. He's over there in the guest chair by Apex Entertainment.
Guest chair. Thank you to Apex Entertainment.
Yes, indeed. All right. So as we look... Okay, let me ask you this. Is that Tooney is... Tooney and Van Noy are the two free agents that the Patriots are... everyone's predicting are going to leave.
Because they're just going to be super expensive.
Right.
Tooney's my guy. NC State guy.
That's great. You went to the same school. All right, so so I went to the same school as Mr. Rogers. So I think he's better than Joe Tooney. All right, so
I think Patriots fans would disagree.
Okay, that he's better than Mr. Rogers.
I mean, how many Super Bowls did Mr. Rogers
win? All right, then do I have to? Then do I? Well, the woman from Married with Children was also on my show, the Chicken One. All right, so or on my at my college. All right, so Tooney is going to make a lot of money. What do you?
I got the Chicken Woman from
the one that Al always called the Chicken, Darcy.
Oh, Darcy. Okay.
He only called her a chicken five times an episode.
Okay, I don't remember.
He called her a boy and a chicken. Those were the two insults he gave. Yeah.
It's a pretty steep drop off from Mr. Rogers to Darcy from Married with Children.
Hence why I did it.
Wasn't it Marcy? It's Marcy.
Oh, Marcy,
right?
Darcy. Yes, that's her name. Marcy.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So Tooney's gonna make a lot of money.
Peg's best friend.
Yes. No. They weren't friends. They just lived across the street.
Well, but they were de facto friends because in the '80s you had to be friends with the people you lived next to. Now you don't have to do that anymore. You don't talk to talk to actual friends.
Yeah. But then when the Hands of Fella came on, they actually became friends with Al when they had No Ma'am.
Ted McGinley, right?
Ted McGinley, who was on Happy Days during its glory days. All right, so we know Tooney's going to make a lot of money. What do you, I'm hearing different things about Van Noy. What do you think the market's going to be for him?
Pretty good, right? A guy who can, look, anybody who can get after the passer in any capacity is going to get paid. I will say that there's, there's a lot of sneaky good free agents out there. Like Jimmy Ward is one for the 49ers. Chris Jones is one who could really get paid. So maybe Van Noy falls in that secondary market more so. And in that case, maybe he gets out there and he doesn't get as much as he thinks he's going to get, and then comes back and Belichick gives him what he wants. I think that there will be a market for a guy of his skill set because there just always is out in free agency.
All right, Emmanuel Sanders, a lot of people are talking about him coming to... I'm saying it for real. Emmanuel Sanders, a lot of people...
Real quick, I do want to say this, though. There was a this free agent tracker, everyone ranks the free agents.
Is that Establish the Run?
This is Establish the Run.
Yeah, Evan Silva, and if you play Daily Fantasy or even Season-Long Fantasy, I think it's like $200 a year for their site. It's worth it.
Okay, well...
Their site's awesome.
Well, Dave Richards stands there. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I was cussed saying that.
Ranked the outside linebackers and the free agents this year, and Kyle Van Noy ranked number one. They've got him at number one, Jamie Collins right after that.
Yeah,
I mean, he's 30.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, he's 31.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
But he's ranked as a 4-3 outside linebacker, so that might be technical. Like, technically, he might be ranked first.
Yeah, I would be interested to see. And this is Silva did this for Roto World back when he was there before he left and started his own site. And this is always one of the most comprehensive lists. They do a really good job of it. I do think that it's nice sometimes to see it blended. And, like, look, you have to look at the strength of the class. So, for instance, you know, I mean, is Kyle Van Noy going to get more than Shaq Barrett, Yannick Ngakoue, or Jadeveon Clowney? No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's just not. He can be, and it's like, who, now, I'll say this. One of the problems for Bill Belichick, I think, in personnel evaluation and free agency is the fact that he currently has a lot of guys who used to work for him or play for him who are now, or GMs who used to work in that building who are now in other places.
They know how good these guys are.
But they also, like, they don't look at him like, oh, like, where are we going to put this guy?
Yeah.
They say, oh, we know how this guy got used in New England.
Yeah.
So, like, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, for instance. You know, they love to go and drop money on, you know, Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis.
They're taking a ton of Logan Ryan. I mean, there's a ton of different guys.
We see, you know, Jason Light has a relationship down in Tampa with them.
Yep.
You know, they need help on the defensive side of the ball. And so you just have all these different places. You know, of course, the Lions with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, where they might be interested in a free agent that 5 years ago wasn't someone in New England.
Yep.
Or, like, you know, somebody in New England would be out there on the market, be like, eh, we don't know if, like, how we're going to use this guy. There's so many, like, the tree is grown, the roots are everywhere. So I think it's easier for teams to justify spending on Patriots free agents.
So Van Noy's going to get paid, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's no question. Yeah.
All right. So Emmanuel Sanders, a lot of people think, is someone that would fit in well here, someone who could get the system. Do you see the Patriots bringing him in? And, you know, we've seen so many veteran receivers come in and just not pick it up. Do you think that he's a guy that could do that?
Yes, I think he would actually fit the he would fit the mold because he's 33, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good route runner.
Yep.
At 33, you would assume he's not trying to break the bank with, like, a, you know, he's not looking for, like, a 5-year, $80 million deal.
Yeah.
And so, depending on what happens in this game, this is his third Super Bowl, by the way. Because he went to
Denver, he was with Denver.
He was in Denver, So he's been to three Super Bowls. I think he went to one in Pittsburgh, one in Denver, and now one with San Francisco. He's been to three different teams. So, like, if you're Emmanuel Sanders, you've been paid. You know, you've gotten one big contract. You know, you've gotten multiple deals out there on shorter options. You come back from injury, you're a little bit older. Maybe you want to go somewhere and play with, like, a guy like Tom Brady, assuming he comes back.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to go and play for Bill Belichick. He would fit the scheme. He'd fit the system. A.J. Green would be another name to watch, I think, too, if he's willing to take a lesser deal in New England.
Okay, I have a question based on if he'd want to play for Bill Belichick. The Athletic did an article about, they did a random survey of Pro Bowl players. They asked some questions that no one wanted to answer. But they did ask the question, coach you'd most want to play for, it can't be your current coach. And it went Andy Reid, 4 votes, Pete Carroll, 4 votes, Harbaugh, 2 votes, Shanahan, 2 votes, Tomlin, 2 votes, Vrabel, 2 votes, and Belichick, along with people like Joe Judge and Cliff Kingsbury, with 1 vote. Are the Patriots a place you still go to ring chase?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, now look, I think it's different than it was before. We have to see what happens with Tom Brady.
Well, that's the thing. It's different in this moment until you understand what the future quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, right. He's not going to get any better.
But you got to remember, too, so on March 18th, Tom Brady's void years go onto the Patriots' cap as dead money.
Right.
Making it very difficult to re-sign him after March 18th. I mean, it's not difficult, but it's just like Bill Belichick is big on asset allocation.
Yep.
Like the economics of how he's going to build out his roster. So if he's going to take that dead hit from Tom Brady on 3/18, you would assume that he's going to sign him before 3/18 if he's going to sign him, right?
Yep.
Like, they're not going to let Tom go out there and, like, check in with the Raiders and check in with the Chargers and check in with the Titans and check in with whoever else might be interested in signing him and then have him come back and be like, oh, cool, we're already taking this dead money L. Here's a bunch of more money that you've wanted for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't seem like a scenario that plays out to me.
Yep.
Which means, but the good news for the Patriots is that on 3/18 is when the league year starts. So, like, Emmanuel Sanders is not going to have to make his decision not knowing what Tom Brady's going to do. I think he'll have a pretty good idea of whether or not Tom Brady will be in New England, and that's going to affect how people go to the Patriots. But, yeah, I would say
he take less money to go to New England?
If Tom Brady's there.
You think so?
I mean, maybe a little bit less than market value. And I just don't know that the market is going to value a 33-year-old wide receiver.
Well, that's what I'm – well, okay, fine. But if – say I'm a veteran who still has something in the tank, and is – is the Patriots the place to go if Tom Brady's quarterback, in your opinion?
I mean,
it used to be a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't think it is quite as big a no-brainer. I think that if you're a guy like Emmanuel Sanders and you're looking at the Patriots, you're like, I'd be basically the number one along with Julian Edelman.
Yep. Right.
You know, and so
no question.
In that case, you're stepping into a big role. You're playing for a great quarterback in a scheme that's not easy to learn, but would be easy for your skill set. You're a good route runner. You're going to get on the same page with Brady pretty quickly. So I think that type of guy, it makes sense to go to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But you're not like. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, Breshad Perriman, he's one of the five best wide receivers. Like, he's on this list. That's how bad the wide receiver group is, by the way. I mean, it's like you get to Danny Amendola pretty quickly here.
Yeah.
The top end's not bad. But, like, you're not going to be like, oh, Breshad Perriman, he's a top guy. He's going to go to New England to try and, you know, like, he's just not a good fit for it.
Does Amendola make a football team? I can't see him. I've watched him a lot last season. He's got nothing left.
Why were you watching so much Lions?
He's a Detroit fan.
I'm from Detroit.
I'm from Detroit.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, don't mess with me.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Ford versus everyone.
Have you seen Ford versus Ferrari? That was a really good movie.
I heard it was good.
No, I won't. Have you ever seen the Apple Dumpling Gang?
Yeah. I mean, Apple Dumpling Gang in space, right?
The Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
There's so many chicken.
Oh, real quick, I do want to ask you this because before we let you go, out of all the people you talk to and you know, the NFL guys that you rub elbows with because you're more important than we are in that aspect, when are we going to find out what the punishment for the videotaping thing is?
That's a good question. It's sort of flown under the radar, right?
Well, yeah. It went away like just because there was that report that came out that they couldn't quite connect it to Belichick. And then since then, it's gone away. But they said that it was still going to be a punishment pending. And I thought that you were going to find out something this week. I thought it was going to be during Super Bowl week you were going to find out something.
I think that the Patriots losing in the first round, like, it just – I don't mean this pun, but, like, it took the air out of it.
No, not
like,
totally.
Like,
yeah,
it,
yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, and this is a weird, like, post-Patriots dynasty apocalyptic scenario we're living in the NFL, where it's like not everything is focused on New England just in terms of the national storylines. Like, it's weird to be in a Super Bowl where we haven't seen the Patriots for 3 weeks.
Oh, well, think about it, because even, like, the media was setting this up to be a big – I mean, the Aaron Hernandez documentary came out, and there was, like, this article that I know that Jeff Howard written for The Athletic was, like, he waited for this week, he wanted to release it, whereas all these Belichick stories, and it's like, now that they're not here, it's kind of being falling on –
That's how we're used to. They're like, I mean, this is my 10th Super Bowl. Five of them have featured the Patriots. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think that we'll probably get the standard. So Roger Goodell talks on Wednesday, I guess, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Usually, right? And I bet he'll be like – well, that investigation is not concluded.
We want to get it right.
Yeah, we want to make sure we get it right. And, like, there's no rush. Nobody's writing about it because the Patriots aren't here.
Yeah.
So nobody's at, like, if the Patriots are here, they'd be getting asked about it left and right and left and right. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell when Belichick did his end-of-season press conference, he knew he wasn't speaking to the media until the freaking owners' meetings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we got to, you know, because he didn't talk at the combine.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if we got well into February when they start to worry about, like, they'll want to get it done before the new league year. And they have to give, you know, the Patriots a little bit of time if they're going to take away draft picks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think there's any interest in trying. I mean, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they drop it this week. But it just doesn't feel like they're really rushing on it.
It right also now. Doesn't feel like it's as bad as far as the punishment is originally people had thought. And I think it was when that thing leaked out that it had nothing to do with Belichick. Or
right.
They found a way to not.
Like, you do the investigation, and you're like, okay, at the end of the day, this is some rogue, like, video production situation. Like, what are you going to take away, like, a second round pick?
Yeah.
Because some cameraman, like, filmed the Bengals?
Maybe do some research.
Also, like, it didn't even work.
Gone in the Sanu deal. Yes.
Maybe they're going to take away Muhammad Sanu.
I'm sure the Patriots would hate that. All right. Well,
maybe the Muhammad Sanu trade was a proactive move to keep them from taking away a second round pick.
Now
the NFL is trying to figure out how to be like, well, third's not enough, a first is too much.
I like the way you think.
What do we do here?
Throw them in the briar patch. I'm sure they would hate that. Well, listen, Will, if you want to go, that's fine. But some things are not appreciated in their own time. Vincent van Gogh died penniless. But now his works are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. We had an interview this morning, very early, that is one of these underappreciated gems. We will have that for you in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich this hour. Toucher and Rich live from Radio Row in Miami is sponsored by Bernardi Automotive Group. What's funny is people were calling Bird during that Fesco bit going, who the hell is screening calls in there?
Hey, by the way, Fred, screw it. Second time around was even better.
No, it was a good bit.
I'll stand by that. I will stand by that bit.
No, that's a good bit. That's not even debatable. It was a good bit.
No. Yeah. I'm still upset you did not get my Ray from Baltimore set up.
But I paid it off a little bit without being Ray. But
well, when Larry showed up, I mean, when I said Yaramir on line six, and all when I just heard you go, where I had ask Josh, who was here, like running things. I had to turn. Fesco's to my left. I had to turn to my right, and my back was to Bob Fesco because I couldn't look at him. I was laughing so hard. I was just, wow.
Oh, Fesco.
Oh, goodness. Everyone's showing up. I see some actual, like, real people walking around. I guess I see Rob Ryan here.
Oh.
There's Peter King. Oh. Very fashionable.
That's right. Maybe he's got a microbrew.
Maybe he does. So, yeah. So, the actual people are showing up, which is nice. And then, you know, tomorrow we're going to be lining up some guests and then all sorts of fun shenanigans. Do you want to talk Kobe stuff, or are we just kind of past that point as far as, you know?
If you got something that you want to talk about, that's fine.
Okay, well, let's start with that because there is some actual news that's being broken. We were talking this morning about, you know, the moral question as to whether or not TMZ should have run with the story before any of the family were aware of the accident. Obviously, that's a horrible way to find out that a loved one died is by the internet. If you know you had not been informed by the police. However, Harvey Levin of TMZ is now defending himself this morning, and here's what he had to say about the information that he had received before he ran with it.
I also saw yesterday in part of the news conference, the sheriff was talking about news organizations saying that they shouldn't post things before families are notified. What's your reaction to that, and what's the balance of it?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not going to tell you how we got it. I will tell you that the initial phone call, I just got a call from somebody I knew at law enforcement who called me up and told me. And then we made a series of phone calls, and we were dealing with various people from Kobe's camp, mm-hmm. various. So everybody knew we were working in the story, and they were okay with us putting it up when we did it. So, you know, look, we put the story up, you know, after dealing with them for a fair amount of time, you know, from the time that we actually got the tip. So they knew we were putting it up, and they were fine with it. I guess you could make the argument, and it is an issue, that there were other people on board as well. You know, once we confirm Kobe and once his team knows and they're okay with it, look, we put the story up, and everybody else did too. Mm. I think we put this up sometime after 11. Mm-hmm. The accident happened around the 9 o'clock hour. So there was a fair period of time between the two of those things.
Okay, bull S. I'm calling complete and total bull crap that Kobe's people were totally fine with you running with that story. That is 1,000% a lie right there. And second of all, what did I say this morning? They have people, TMZ has people everywhere giving them news stories. And I guarantee you, like he just said right there, it was someone in law enforcement who wasn't supposed to leak that out, who leaked that out and probably got paid for it.
Yeah.
That's how they get their tips. So, I mean, if you want to say, well, there's no way that the police would do that, there's people who will do it for a little extra side money.
They're not supposed to, but yep. There's I wouldn't doubt that for a second.
And so now is where we kind of see the repercussions. Tonight, there is not going to be the Lakers and Clippers game that has been canceled because, obviously, the Lakers organization still wants to – they need some time to grieve. But then there are some kind of, you know, interesting things that have come out. Mr. Peanut, he was going to have a commercial in the Super Bowl where he died. The Planners Corporation has said that they will no longer be running the ad where Mr. Peanut dies because they think
thank you. I'm sure the family would have been devastated by that.
So, all right. Quote, we are saddened by this weekend's news and Planners has paused all campaign activities, including paid media. We'll evaluate the next steps through a lens of sensitivity to those impacted by this tragedy.
Okay, I call BS on that being something that I think that's PR.
There's no way that they could.
Sadly,
possibly,
you're probably right.
They didn't need to pull this.
There's no possible way that a peanut dying is somehow going to resonate with the.
You're
with,
telling me, Mr. Peanut is fake?
Yeah, I know. Like, if you threw a real peanut off, it would be bad.
Now, if Peanut died in a helicopter crash, I guess I could kind of see that.
Absolutely. But it's a car crash. I think he dies in a car crash.
Okay, what's the problem?
Maybe there is something to it. I don't know.
You think the Bryant family is watching the Super Bowl, and they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they had an animated peanut die?
No, I think you're right on, Fred. This is clearly a PR stunt.
Yes, I think this is PR. I think this is trying to win goodwill, and I think that is not nice. Not nice.
Also, a petition has started to change the NBA logo to Kobe Bryant from Jerry West.
All right.
So there you go. That has been thrown out there as well. He will be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in the 2020 class. They've already announced that. So
best class maybe ever next year.
Who is it?
Kevin
is it
Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Kobe Bryant all at the same time.
Unbelievable.
Wait, Tim Duncan's going to be a Hall of Famer?
All right. I don't know if he deserves that. Nah. That's kind of an Eli Manning type discussion, isn't it?
I mean, if he won a championship.
He's got the championships, but really, did he do anything to really deserve it? I don't know.
I'm on the fence with him.
All right, so Fred, on a completely different tip, one that I know you will completely be here for, I'm just going to read it straight from the press release. We've been hearing a lot about the Saved by the Bell reboot in development for NBC Universal's Peacock streaming service this month, and now we have the details. Mark Paul Gosselaar will be appearing in some capacity as California Governor Zach Morris. That's right, he's the governor now. Now we know more of the cast. In addition to the returning cast members like Mark Paul Gosselaar, you're also going to get Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley. So there you go. I can't believe they got those three because they seem to be busy.
No, Zach gets real work. I don't know why.
Yeah, Mark Paul Gosselaar, he did NYPD Blue. He's done a bunch of stuff.
He had that great show with Breckenmeyer.
When was NYPD Blue off the air?
It's been a while.
15 years.
It's been a while. The point is, with a lot of those guys, they didn't get regular work. He did.
He got the Ricky Schroeder treatment.
That's right.
Didn't NYPD Blue just run through Kurt
Hamlin? Yes, they did. It was Ricky Schroeder followed by Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Okay. Honestly, what has Mark Paul Gosselaar?
I don't know.
What has he done recently?
I don't know. I'm not watching it. I mean, it holds no interest to me. It's going to be on for two episodes.
Okay, so I was talking about this with Josh, our engineer, and he was talking about that 90210 reboot that they did.
You want to talk about
the definition of overthinking an easy money concept. All you had to do was, hey, what's going on with the 90210 cast, not cast, the characters 20 years later?
Yeah. And it would have been 20 years, and here we are. They ruined it.
That's right. Josh, and he was saying they overthought it. They made it this meta thing where they were playing themselves.
God, it was so disappointing. Well, I cannot tell you how disappointing.
Disappointing.
Do you think that if Zach's the governor of California, and there's this big anti-abortion rally, he goes, time out, and then he can talk to him?
Let's talk about a woman's right to choose. He just turns to the camera and
he goes, time out. And he's like, what am I going to do with these lunatics?
Do you remember when Mr. Belding used to do bar appearances?
Yes.
All throughout the country? He did a couple at, what was the name of that place?
Yeah,
it was The Place. The Place down in Boston, which is now some tiki hut or something like that. Some downtown tiki restaurant. But yeah, Mr. Belding used to go on these bar appearances where he would just plow through, all these pictures with all these girls who grew up watching him. He's like, hey.
Didn't we do a segment He got laid at those things.
We took calls from women who hooked up with Mr. Belding. And maybe it's this weird dad thing.
That's a weird bucket list.
Yeah, listen, they could tell all their friends, hey, I hooked up with a guy that I used to watch on TV. But, he kind of was living the life for a while there. About 5 years, they would pay him thousands of dollars to go to these bars and he'd get free drinks and get drunk. And he was it always seemed like he was getting hammered at those things, too. And from what the callers were saying, he would hook up with some of the young ladies there as well.
By the way, Mark Paul Gosselaar, a recurring role on Mixed-ish, and how could you guys forget Franklin and Bash?
Well, that's
shame on both of you.
With Breckenmeyer.
I said Breckenmeyer. Yeah. I already said it. Thanks for paying attention.
Sorry.
Franklin and Bash, over under on one season. There's no way it went over one season.
I think it was two.
Franklin and Bash was two seasons.
Hey, that wasn't a network show. That had to
TNT.
Be
it was TNT.
No, that was TNT.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you get a
40 episodes.
That's two seasons.
Two seasons.
Who was the wild card and who was like the straight man?
I think that they were both like kind of joshing around. Like I never saw it.
You can't have a double Josh. It never works.
No, I don't think one was like uptight. I think it was, but they had like a rapport. Like they were both like, you know, kind of goof offs. But
a bunch of goofballs.
Yeah, they were goofing off. All right, Rich is down there in Miami, thanks to the Bernardi Automotive Group this hour. I take it the 10 o'clock gang is there?
Yep, they are gathering as we speak. And it's so weird because they're right to my left, and over to the other side is Rob Ryan.
Really? Is he just fit and trim? Is he still have the silver hair?
And he looks great. It's like, you know, a bigger version of the dude.
All right, there you go. All right, so we will be back in just a moment. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich is down there in Miami because I'm having huge personal problems and bitch my way out of it. If you listen to people emailing me, it couldn't be for any other reason. It has to be something, but that's my fault. But Rich is down there. It's good. We're all happy. Now, are you with the gang?
I'm with the crew. I'm with Hardy and Zolak, who is angry that he's going to have to travel to Mexico this year, possibly.
No, just got called off.
I don't think it's 100%, but Jeff Howell just tweeted.
Yep.
The game, the Patriots-Dolphins game, is not scheduled in Mexico City. I don't understand how they would have scheduled this for Mexico City because it's brutal enough already. We're at Seattle. We're at both L.A. teams. So we're at the Chargers, at the Rams. We're at Kansas City. We're at Houston.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you send us to Alaska? Why don't you just play some move a game up there or something?
You got to go to the West Coast three times? That sucks.
Tell me about it. And it's brutal for me because I miss Fridays when we go to West Coast because we don't leave on a Saturday. We leave Fridays.
Right.
And then if it's
and
a
they always
game,
put you at like, these sweet hotels.
No, we actually stay at the Ritz in Seattle.
Oh, you do?
Last time yeah.
I just know when you go to Detroit, they put you in Romulus. Which
no. We stay at the airport.
Yeah, I know, which is in Romulus, which is like the worst place on the planet.
But the hotel is not bad, but you can't go eat anywhere.
No, you can't go anywhere.
So what I have to do, Rich, and you'd love this, is I have to go back through security check, and then you can either go to P.F. Chang's, which is right around the corner.
The Chang's?
No, not a real P.F., but like the airport Chang's.
Oh.
Or they have different like panini shops and stuff, and they have a gold, you know, the Panda.
Well, Detroit has actually. Yeah. Detroit has. If you go to
Detroit airport's awesome, Fred.
Yeah, it is good. There's a lot of places to eat there, but it sucks that you have to go back into the airport to eat.
Yeah, you have to go. You have to check in your hotel, then you have to go outside the airport, then go back through security.
You have to go through security and get to the National Coney Island. Yeah,
yeah. So there's day pass. Several National Coney Islands, and they
serve
beer.
How long ago was it when you guys did Mexico? It was like 3 years ago.
Yes.
Because there was that crazy video that Edelman and Amendola did where there was like shredding the gnar in Mexico where they were just like skateboarding and look at how cool Mexico is.
I mean, it was
you guys had dudes with machine guns traveling with
you. It was not a good experience.
Yeah, and helicopters following you wherever you
went. They're not ready for the league over there. Remember the year the Chiefs were supposed to play the Rams?
Yeah, yeah.
And
the field was like a mess.
It was a disaster. They had to relocate the game to L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you should have to do that if they're going to do like once every 16 years.
Right.
Like it's just you play there, you end up going in the circuit, and then you know London would be nice.
London was awesome. The trips to London were phenomenal. They really were.
It's the same as flying out west.
We called the game at Wembley. They now have a new football stadium there, so you could actually have a real press box, but. The game in Wembley, we called from the stands. The game in Mexico City, there was no food, and we were on cement, just squares, calling it from out in the middle of the stands. It was unbelievable.
Well, I've told you this story before that I have a friend who got kidnapped in Mexico City. Him and the guys he was on business with.
It was scary, Fred. It really was because I mean they literally had Humvees and tanks around our hotel with just. Armed, semi-automatic weapons armed by hundreds and hundreds of guards.
Yep. Well, I know a guy who got kidnapped, so I don't doubt it.
Are you going to have Rob Ryan on?
We had him on last year. I was talking to Rob for a while.
He almost gave us a scoop last year.
Last year, well, I saw him at the team hotel. I was talking to him. He had no job at the time. He said, I got a couple things in the works, and he went on with us. And next thing you know, like the Redskins hired him in one of the flashes.
Yeah, he said, well, how do you not have a job right now? And he said, well, that may be changing in a day or two. And then it was an hour later they announced.
Yeah, I already read the Hub headlines, and then bang.
There you go.
You got a little...
Well, now we're starting to see, like, people walking around with, like, entourages, and everyone's like, who's that? Who's that guy?
Yeah, it is Miami. You're going to get some people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you gentlemen.
Dude, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep for about 5 hours.
All right, well, we got to talk to you briefly after the show. But,
yes.
Oh. All right, you guys have an excellent time. Enjoy yourself down there in Miami, and we will be back tomorrow. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.